So we come now to Joshua chapter 16 in our second reading. Very short chapter. Joshua chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along the borders of Arki to Atarot, and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhleti, unto the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and to Gezer, and the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus, even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Atarot-Adar, unto Beth-horon the upper. And the border went out toward the sea to Michmethah on the north side, and the border went about eastward unto Ta'anat Shiloh, and passed by it on the east to Janohah. And it went down from Janohah to Atarot and to Na'arat, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan. The border went out from Tapua westward unto the river Cana, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribes of the children of Ephraim by their families, and the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. So as we began with Judah, now we go to the next, most populous, most significant tribe, and that would be, notice it is described as the children of Joseph at the beginning. But we know that Joseph was divided into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, after the two sons of Joseph. And so we also know that Manasseh was half on the other side Jordan, and then half on the west side of Jordan. And then that Ephraim was that large and most populous tribe in the north, such that so often the northern kingdom was described as Ephraim itself. In fact, sometimes when we describe the southern kingdom, we say Judah, although it's Judah and Benjamin. And then when we describe the northern kingdom, we say Ephraim, although it is comprised of the 10 tribes completely. So we move then from Judah to Joseph. Of course, it's a very interesting theological move that we see here in Joshua, from Judah to Joseph. Because Joseph was that favored son of Jacob, was he not? So he always considered Joseph to be the son of his beloved Rachel, his true wife. And so Joseph was his favorite, which indeed didn't do Joseph a lot of good in the eyes of his brethren, as we remember. And when Joseph was thought to have died by Jacob, then all of that favor landed upon the head of Benjamin, and he became his favorite because he too was born of Rachel. Now, it is interesting that it moves from Judah to Joseph in the history of Old Testament theology, because the Jews believed that Messiah would have two characteristics, or that there would be two Messiahs, some of them in their error. But they would have what they called Messiah ben Judah, and then they would have Messiah ben Joseph, ben there meaning the son of. And so Messiah ben Judah would be the one who comes as the conquering king, Messiah, Ben Joseph, would be the one who is mistreated, and so on. So we have the great king and the humble servant. Well, notice that our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the embodiment of both of those principles. He is indeed Messiah ben Judah and Messiah ben Joseph in his person. And so as Ephraim is mentioned, or Joseph is mentioned second, we remember that Joseph, although he was for a time humbled, he rose to great authority, and that over a Gentile kingdom. Well, the typology there is indeed too much to ignore. All right, so then we see then pastorally here from this chapter, like we saw in chapter 15, that as the Judahites did not completely purge the land, but left the Jebusites, so also we have Canaanites left in Gezer, right? The Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Do you remember what the warning was of Moses to the children of Israel, what they were to do with the Canaanites and why? He said that if you do not cast them out, if you do not destroy them, they will become as thorns in your sides and goads in your eyes. They will cause you to stumble. You will follow after their gods. And is that not what we see? In their refusal to cast them out as they ought to have done, but instead placing them under tribute, in other words, placing what they might profit from them above the damage that they might do to them, we note that about 400 years later, 500 years later, the children of Israel are bent on idolatry. They are so far down the road of idolatry that they cannot find their way back. And eventually, a couple of centuries later, they are utterly destroyed, never to be recalled, never to be regathered. And so, for a few shekels of tribute, they traded away their religion. And yet, it is a bargain that the New Testament tells us many still make. For they that would be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish, hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, whereby some, having reached after, and I'm paraphrasing now, have pierced themselves through with many a sorrow and left the faith for a few shekels. In our prosperous and affluent society, let us not trade our religion for a few shekels. This is the lesson of Joshua 16. Let's stand and continue praying.